Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare! All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm swell. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And this is Fuck Shakespeare.
It certainly is.
And we've got the 9th episode of Richard III.
Yeah, Diana's back in her closet.
Yes, I feel like my father. What? Oh, boy. He's long dead. It's okay.
It's okay.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so we're in deep into Act 3 of Richard III. Act 3 does go on for quite a while.
We have these little scenes. Fast scenes. Moving the action.
Yeah. The third one is not so little, but yeah. We've got 3 scenes for you today. On the menu is another one of the dreams that is important in this play. So we have Clarence's dream. We talked about King Edward, having dreams and prophecies and things that he was, like, worrying about. And so now we're going to have Lord Stanley's dream. And Stanley is this funny peripheral character, isn't he?
Yeah, but the dream is important. And this is a good paper idea.
Yeah. Dreams and Richard III.
Dreams and Richard III, how they move the action, what they tell you about the direction of the play.
Yeah. What they tell you about the individual characters.
Right. So why does Shakespeare use so many references to dreams in Richard III?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than, we talked about that in the first episode, more than any other play is that word mentioned. Yes. So, big thing. I'm sure there must be scholarly tomes written on this, but you can find them.
Or not. Just write your own scholarly essay.
Fucking scholarly essay. Yeah. And I was just telling Erin, actually, before we signed in, that irrelevant to this, but yes, relevant, I went and visited the tomb of Richard III. Mm. You know that whole story when they dug him up in a car park?
That's a parking lot.
A parking lot. That's
for you Americans.
Americans, right. A car park. Well, they happened to, watch the documentary, but they happened to, there was this lady who really believed in her heart of hearts that Richard III was buried under this parking lot. It's a long story. But the place where they found him is called Leicester. It looks like Leicester when you read it. Leicester, and they made that whole parking lot area into a little museum-y thingy. And I drove up there to see the museum-y thingy, and it was randomly closed for refurbishing. And I was like... But next door to it is the Leicester Cathedral, and there's a beautiful stone, beautiful tomb where he's buried. And I was saying to Erin, there's this incredible reverence for him as a king, which you don't get in the play. I mean,
that's why you and Dakota went to Yorkshire, right? And and a castle or something, and you were like, "Do you have Richard the, you know, Shakespearean?" And the woman was like,
"Yeah." So to keep that in mind, that this play that we keep exploring is a piece of Tudor propaganda.
We said that at the outset because he knew who was paying his bills.
Right. You don't piss off the current monarchy.
But Diana brought up a really good point about Shakespeare and how he might have felt about Richard, or how he writes beautiful poetry for characters that we end up viewing, I'm not going to say as villains, but as their actions as villainous.
Yeah, and so the book that I was reading for my new class called Shakespeare's Legacy was talking about the concept of quote-unquote our Shakespeare. The Shakespeare that we know and understand and love and whatever and portray whenever we, even as directors or actors, do a production. You know, what are we trying to say about Shakespeare? And then people having this sense of ownership about Shakespeare and wanting to say, wanting to point to things like Hamlet and going, that's the guy, that's Shakespeare right there talking to you through the character of Hamlet. But this book was saying, this book was written by Marjorie Garber, in fact, one of Aaron's favorites.
I love me some Marjorie Garber.
The book is called Shakespeare After All, and it's written for lay people, so it's an interesting, you know, history of Shakespeare. But she was saying that, you know, you cannot know what Shakespeare really thought. Shakespeare thought all of it. Because he puts beautiful words into all kinds of characters' mouths, including what we might think of as heinous villains, but he allows them poetry and gorgeous concepts. So he loves them, and he's expressing himself through them every bit as much as he is through some beautiful Juliet or Hamlet, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So take that.
But again, see, right? I go back to this is why we continue to perform Shakespeare and read Shakespeare, and this is why Shakespeare is so important, is because he really does. I'm going to say a little something about my mother here.
Do it.
I can't believe I'm comparing my mother to Shakespeare, but here you go.
Yeah.
My mother was a sculptor, and she was a very talented sculptor. And during the late 60s, all of the 70s, and the early 80s, she would make these gesticular figures that it was all about the human gesture. And then she would name them man or woman or two men and a woman or, you know, whatever. Six people was one of the big ones, right? And when I asked her when I was a kid, in, you know, in the early 70s, when I asked her why she didn't name her pieces what she was thinking she wanted to communicate to her audience, she said, that's not what art is. I'm offering up a vision for people to interpret as they will.
Yeah. That's
I'm not trying to tell them how they should feel about it.
Yeah.
I want them to feel whatever they feel about it and develop their own story about it. Like, that's what art should be. And I feel like, in a sense, Shakespeare does the same thing. He has an idea. He wants to make a bunch of different points, but he's using art and allowing us the opportunity to interpret as we will and to see the humanity in every single person on that stage.
Yeah. And maybe and that's to see ourselves, maybe,
and,
somewhere.
Right. It's a mirror.
Yeah.
But we humans have a tendency to other... Oops, soapbox! We humans have a tendency to other people because we're tribal by nature.
Yeah.
And I feel like Shakespeare is a wonderful mirror in that sense, that Richard gets beautiful words. Edmund gets beautiful words. Caliban gets extraordinary words. People who are shrouded in the cloak of villain or monster or whatever are given extraordinary poetry to speak, which, you know, makes, which humanizes them.
Yeah.
It makes us see ourselves in them.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson, right? The lesson is we're all human.
Yeah. And that's why I love Richard III.
Yeah.
Because you can't help but love him for a while.
Even at the end. Even at the end.
Yeah, he gets very human and very frightened and very, you know, vulnerable at the end.
Yep. And we may have disengaged. We may not be cheering him on anymore.
Yeah.
But we certainly see his humanity.
Yeah.
What a privilege. Same thing with the Mickey Bees.
Yeah.
Right? We see them in all their humanity as everything unravels.
Yeah.
Why did Shakespeare put in the hand-washing scene? He didn't have to do that. If Lady Mac was supposed to be a villain,
then he
would he put that in?
Killed her off and we never see her, and that would have been the statement, right? It's like, who cares about her? She's a terrible person. Right. We're not going to give you the lovely moment with her.
Right. And when she says, if he hadn't looked so much like my father, I'd have done it myself.
Yeah.
Right? Human.
Yeah. Not demon, not witch, not, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a couple of scenes without our titular hero. Mm-hmm. But then we will see him again come back.
Also, and speaking of tits.
Let's talk about tits.
Go and watch our TikTok.
Because
when the Duchess of York was talking about her dugs and how, which is tits, and how Richard certainly didn't get his foulness from her milk.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure, since she's so cruel and mean to him, that maybe he did get a little bit of the lack of milk of human kindness.
Right.
But anyway, so I found this list of 300 alternative words for tits by Mum's Lounge in Australia, a website. And I just went off in honor of the Duchess of York's tits.
Yay.
Yeah. So
Aaron's
go
going rogue with TikTok. Just do it. Just watch it. It's funny.
I'm going rogue. I'm out of control. But I don't have Diana to stabilize me, so there you go.
Well, if you can call it stabilizing, I don't know. In any case, it's entertaining, and it's 30 seconds. Just do it. Okay. All right. So we've got a dream. A boring dream. And then we have a short scene where we see Rivers and Gray and another dude named Vaughn bite it. Remember them? Well, they were like ages ago, but we're going to see them going off to prison. And I forgot, actually, that Pomfret, you know, it was said that they were captured and held at Pomfret. And I forgot that Pomfret is the castle prison where Richard II was imprisoned.
Oh.
And where he died. So, hence, it's like a buzzword for Elizabethans. Buzz, 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 buzz. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, bad things happen there. That's not good. Yeah. And then we have this scene where all of the people are going to gather to talk about the coronation for the young prince. And it goes awry.
As it does.
When there are strawberries involved. Apparently.
Apparently, strawberries.
There's some strawberries. Mm. Yes.
I always forget about that scene. Now that you bring it up, I'm like, it's so bizarre.
It's so weird. Why don't you go get some strawberries and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
and
right.
The strawberries come back and he's like, did I miss something? What happened?
You'll find out what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if strawberry is slang for anything.
Well, I'm going to admit that I didn't do a whole lot of research, but I found an article called The Meaning of Strawberries in Shakespeare. The author is Lawrence J. Ross. And I'm going to quote directly. He talks about three instances where strawberries appear. And I'm going to read this one piece just so you get an idea. The curious incident drawn by the dramatist from his historical source of Richard, Duke of Gloucester, requesting some of the Bishop of Ely's strawberries just before he bares his withered arm before the council and manages the dispatching of Hastings. Moore's account in the histories places such unexplained and pointless emphasis on the mess of strawberries that their presence in the episode only makes for mystery. In a recent note, Professor J. Dover Wilson has quoted approvingly an explanation of Richard's demand for strawberries suggested by a physician, Dr. J. Swift Jolly, who thinks the intriguer required them to establish the claim that he was being victimized by witchcraft. His idea is that the historical Richard was allergic to strawberries and knew that he could produce a urticarial rash by eating them. That means hives. I don't know if I said it correctly. Professor Wilson believes Dr. Jolly has discovered the point of the historical episode, which, being lost, has left the versions of both Moore and Shakespeare oddly pointless. But, he goes on to say, Wilson's own critical observation points our way to recognition of Shakespearean intentions in the passage that have nothing to do with Richard's supposed allergies or Shakespeare's ignorance of them. I'm going to skip the first reference, but the second reference must be intended to be meaningful in its context, Hastings' commentary on Richard's character, unless Shakespeare deliberately has gone out of his way to produce an entry, line, and grouping which are otherwise dramatically inert. I'm not going to read the Shakespeare, we do that later. Eli's entrance, to remind us of the good strawberries, just preceding Hastings' praise of Richard's lack of dissimulation, can only be meant, like the purposeful re-entry of the intriguing Richard and Buckingham immediately following, as an ironic commentary on that tribute. Make of that what you will.
Yeah, I looked it up and it's like a symbol of love, so it's not, you know, as they say in Italian, non c'entra. It doesn't enter into the conversation in terms of that, but yeah.
Okay.
But the strawberries maybe is like the first step in some wacky random shit happening, because you'll see that as soon as, after Hastings' death, oh, sorry, spoiler, everybody's dying, start counting the body count, that Richard goes off on this wacky tear. He really does. The next scene you're going to see, the next episode is crazy, completely crazy. But that people sort of tolerate it because nobody's going to cross him now, right? He's, they're like, has he screw loose or something? What are we going to do about this? Yeah. And so the bad guys are forming up their posse, and the quote unquote good guys are scattering to the winds. They're like, hey, I'm going to run while I still can. Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
We are at Act 3, Scene 2, in front of Hastings' house.
What ho, my lord! That's a messenger.
Who knocks at the door?
A messenger from Lord Stanley!
What is the clock?
That's upon Hastings. The stroke of 4.
Cannot thy master sleep these tedious nights?
So it should seem by that I have to say. First, he commends him to your noble lordship.
What then?
Then certifies your lordship that this night he dreamt the boar had raised off his helm. Besides, oh, you want to stop?
No.
Okay. Besides, let's just set up the scene here.
Yeah, so it's the middle of the night, 4 o'clock, right? In the morning. Mm-hmm. And Hastings is like, what the fuck? Why is somebody knocking my door?
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And certifies just means informs, assures, right? And he says he dreamt the boar had raised it off his helm, cut off his head. His helm,
right.
His head.
Right, exactly. Helm is like helmet, like a battle helmet. But yeah, yes, if you like raise off your helmet, your head's coming with
clearly
it.
Clearly with a sword, you know, like very violent dream. And the boar is the symbol for Richard III. It's the emblem. It's on all of his, you know, standard and all of that stuff and on his armor and on the base of his tomb, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
There was a beautiful boar carved into that, too. All right, messenger.
Messenger goes on. Besides, he says there are 2 councils kept, and that may be determined at the one which may make you and him to rue at the other. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So there are going to be 2 separate councils.
Yeah, Richard and Buckingham talked about that early,
right, of people, and that what gets determined at one, what gets talked about at one, is going to cause problems at the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, he sends to know your lordship's pleasure if presently you will take horse with him and with all speed post with him toward the north to shun the danger that his soul divines.
Yeah, so Stanley is in favor of running now. He had a dream, and he's like, let's go. Get the fuck out of here. Derby is to the north of London. So, you know, I looked that up. And so he's like, let's just get on those horses and go to my house and we'll be safe. You know? And that his soul divines, that he apprehends, right? He's paying attention to this dream.
So Stanley is trying to warn Hastings.
Yeah, and he believes in the dream.
Yeah. So well, I think most people do, right?
Yeah, well, in Shakespeare, right. They do. And so is that, you know, country wisdom, or was it generally accepted that if you had a dream, it was really important prophecy? But then Hastings is going to go on here to discount that to his detriment. Hastings. Go, fellow, go, return unto thy lord. Bid him not fear the separated council. His honor and myself are at the one, and at the other is my good friend Catesby, where nothing can proceed that toucheth us, whereof I shall not have intelligence. So he's so like, on this side, we got me and you, Stanley.
Yeah.
And on the other side, there's Catesby.
And so I'll know what's going on at both, because I'll be at one and Catesby will tell me about what's going on at the other. Oh, my goodness. It's like in Julius Caesar, where they split the crowd and...
Right. And
right?
Talking, yeah, like Brutus is talking to one part of the crowd and Cassius is supportive. We didn't even get to see that, right? The other council. Yeah.
Right.
Caesar. And he's terming Catesby his good friend here. Okay.
Oh, Hastings.
Tell him his fears are shallow, wanting instance, and for his dreams, I wonder he's so simple, to trust the mockery of unquiet slumbers. To fly the boar before the boar pursues were to incense the boar to follow us and make pursuit where he did mean no chase. Go bid thy master rise and come to me, and we will both together to the tower, where he shall see the boar will use us kindly.
My gracious lord, I'll tell him what you say. And off the messenger goes.
Yeah.
So.
He's like, his dreams are stupid. Right?
He's so simple. Why does he believe? He's so dumb to believe. Yeah. What he's dreaming in an unquiet sleep. Yeah, he's tossing and turning, whatever. Yeah.
And he's making the point that to run will only make the guy want to chase us.
Right.
It's like running in front of a dog that's agitated, you know?
Right. Don't run. It's just going to chase you.
Yeah. He didn't mean to chase you, but he will chase you if you run.
Yeah. Also, yeah. It occurred to me the line ending tower.
Yeah.
And capitalized
as we've
tower,
seen it. Yeah.
Right?
A number
so
of times.
This is, you know, giving us a little foreshadowing, but also that the tower, interestingly, is not, you know, we hear the Tower of London and we think, oh my God, that's where Henry VIII's wives were imprisoned and killed, right? But the tower was also, there were royal apartments there that were not places where people got confined, although it had been used as far back as Eleanor of Aquitaine to be confined, but also there were meeting rooms there. It wasn't just a prison. It was a building of state. So, you know, we know what we know about the tower, and Shakespeare's audience knows what they know about the tower, but remember that the tower got used for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. It's like the Holiday Inn, where there's conference rooms and there's bedrooms.
And torture chambers in the basement.
Torture chambers in the basement.
Didn't know that about the Holiday Inn, did you?
Okay, enter the aforementioned Catesby.
Many good morrows to my noble lord. Now, what the fuck is Catesby doing there at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, you know, checking out. Well, remember Richard and Buckingham said, Catesby, go figure out if Hastings is going to be okay with this whole me being on the throne thing.
I know, but 4 o'clock in the morning? I know Shakespeare is condensing it so that, you know,
Yeah. So that the messenger probably spoke very slowly.
So now it's 6 a.m.
Now it's 6. Yeah. Acceptable. Okay. Perfectly acceptable.
Right.
I mean, they had to put on all those layers of clothing. They had to get up really early.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Many good morrows to my noble lord.
Good morrow, Catesby. You are early stirring. What news? What news in this our tottering state?
It is a reeling world indeed, my lord, and I believe 'twill never stand upright till Richard wear the garland of the realm.
How? Wear the garland? Dost thou mean the crown?
Aye, my good lord.
I'll have this crown of mine cut from my shoulders ere I will see the crown so foul misplaced. But canst thou guess that he doth aim at it?
Okay, so let's go back.
Yeah.
Right.
So Catesby drops a bomb.
Right. So yes, everything is willy-nilly. It's topsy-turvy, and it won't become upright until Richard is crowned king.
And Hastings is like, excuse me, what?
What? And Catesby's like, yeah, that's what I meant. And then 6 beats of silence.
6 beats of silence. My good lord, 4 beats. And then Hastings has a full line with even a plus one after. So it's not, there's no half lines there. So either he's going, wait a minute. Or he can just come in. You know, depends. But that's the actor's choice.
Yeah. I think.
He's like, over my dead body.
Yeah.
And then he's right. Like, shit. You think, does he want it? Yeah. So he's a little like, reacts. And then he's like, wait, is this real?
You're right.
Yeah.
And Catesby, I on my life and hopes to find you forward upon his party for the gain thereof. And thereupon he sends you this good news, that this same very day your enemies, the kindred of the queen, must die at Pomfret.
Yeah, and you've got Pomfret as the line ending and the speech ending. Yep. Like, notice he is doing you this big favor. Mm-hmm. He got your enemies and he is killing them.
And so he's hoping really to find you in support.
Him? Yeah. Find you forward, means find you in support of him. And Catesby is sent to remind him that he's been done a favor. So you don't want to be on the wrong side of me because I kill people randomly in castles. And then Hastings, indeed, I am no mourner for that news, because they have still been mine adversaries. But that I'll give my voice on Richard's side to bar my master's heirs in true descent, God knows I will not to it, to the death. So my master
being
Edward.
To bar my master's heirs,
yeah. Yeah, I will not. I loved Edward, and I love his children, and I will not choose someone else instead of them.
And I'll die before I do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Catesby, God keep your lordship in that gracious mind.
Yeah. So he's just like, he was sent to find him out. And if he says no, then he says no. And that's fine. He's not supposed to persuade him. But I shall laugh at this 12 months hence, that they which brought me in my master's hate, I live to look upon their tragedy. So it's like, he's willing to be happy about Rivers and Gray dying. And he's like, I'm going to chuckle about it a year from now.
Yeah, they got me in trouble with Edward and got me locked up. And so then I'm looking at them getting...
Yeah, and I'm okay with killing them, which is one thing. So, like, And then there's this obscure, interesting
bit. But also,
wait,
I live to look upon their tragedy. So Edward didn't kill me.
Yeah.
But these guys are getting killed.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Okay.
Well, Catesby, ere a fortnight make me older, I'll send some packing that yet think not aunt. So it's like, wait a minute. He has plans for killing someone else. Send some packing. Means I'm going to pack some people off to heaven.
Oh,
so it's like he has his own plans for people who he needs to get out of the way. And that's really interesting. So he's not seeing himself as someone who's in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He thinks he's in the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he's powerful.
See, tribalism will do you in every time. Okay. My stool is squeaking. Sorry. If you hear that?
Yep.
That's not a good
but
sound.
But only when you point it out.
Yeah, but, listeners. All right. 'Tis a vile thing to die, my gracious lord, when men are unprepared and look not for it. In other words, don't go killing people who aren't, it's a horrible thing to die without getting your prayers in so that you go to heaven.
But I think it's also Catesby going, you're going to die soon, too.
Without having right? made it right. Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, but he might be getting. You're not prepared. Clearly, you're not looking for it.
But he might get an opportunity to meet with a church official before he's.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we're going to see that. Very interesting. And then Hastings responds with monstrous, which is really interesting. And he says it twice, which kind of recalls Richard. Mm-hmm. So he's unwittingly mentioning a word that is usually associated with Richard in this play. But he's not meaning Richard. But it's very interesting to hear this echo. Mm-hmm. Oh, monstrous, monstrous. And so falls it out with Rivers, Vaughan, and Grey. And so 'twill do with some men else who think themselves as safe as thou and I, who, as thou knowest, are dear to princely Richard and to Buckingham.
So interesting, because everyone thinks they're safe.
Yeah.
And no one is. Not one.
Nobody. And some, it's going to happen to some other people who think themselves safe. He doesn't recognize that he's one of those people that thinks himself safe, right?
Yeah. Everybody is up for.
And Catesby really makes some snide little comments here, which I think are really funny. That's why I think the previous one was also a snide comment. Like, you're not prepared. You're not looking at it.
Yeah.
You're going to die too.
Yeah. And here goes Catesby. The princes both make high account of you, for they account his head upon the bridge.
Yeah. So we often talk about things that are asides that are not really asides, but I think, okay, this seems like a legitimate aside.
It has to be. Right? He wouldn't say that to Hastings, because that would tip Hastings off.
Yeah. Although Hastings doesn't seem to be tipped off by anything. But yes. And so Hastings clearly only heard the first line, that they make high account of you, because that's what he's responding to. So that's why it's also a legitimate aside. He did not hear the second line. I know they do, and I have well deserved it. Enter Stanley, who's also called the Earl of Derby, or Darby.
Am I reading Stanley?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on, come on. Where is your boar spear, man? Fury the boar and go so unprovided?
My lord, good morrow, Catesby. You may jest on, but by the holy rood, I do not like these several counsels, I.
Several meaning separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the holy rood is Christ's shroud, so it's just an oath, like, by gummy. And Hastings, my lord, I hold my life as dear as you do yours, and never in my life, I do protest, was it so precious to me as it is now. Think you but that I know our state secure, I would be so triumphant as I am. So
the lord's a pomfret.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Unless I felt this secure, I couldn't be this, boastful.
Feeling
right?
This sense of triumph, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lords at Pomfret, when they rode from London, were jocund, and supposed their states were sure, and they indeed had no cause to mistrust. But yet, you see how soon the day o'ercast. This sudden stab of rancor, I misdoubt. Pray God, I say, I prove a needless coward. What, shall we toward the tower? The day is spent.
Yeah. Notice, Stanley's lines don't end on the word tower.
No.
So that's kind of an interesting foreshadowing for him. Mm-hmm. That the tower won't be his end.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, well, Rivers, Grey, and Vaughan didn't think that they were unsecure when they rode off to go get the prince.
Yeah, they were happy. They were jocund.
They were happy. But you see how soon the day are. You see how quickly the clouds fell on them, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, I feel that maybe I am thinking too much about it, but I hope that I'm a coward for no reason, but right. I feel frightened.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Hastings, Come, come, have with you. What you what, my lord? Today the lords you talked of are beheaded.
Hey, for their truth, might better wear their heads than some that have accused them wear their hats. But come, my lord, let us away.
So they start to go out, and this character comes in that normally I cut from the play, I'll tell you. But anyway, enter a pursuivant. That's an official that's empowered to serve warrants. And for some reason, it says in parentheses, also named Hastings. Like, we don't need to know that because nobody calls him Hastings.
So weird.
It's weird. Okay. So
I feel like one of Shakespeare's buddies was like, I know, let's fuck with them.
Let's fuck with them. Let's name this guy Hastings too. They were drinking a pint in the pub and they're like, make him Hastings also.
Okay,
Hastings. Go on before. I'll talk with this good fellow. How now, sirrah? How goes the world with thee?
The better that your lordship please to ask.
Yeah. I tell thee, man, 'tis better with me now than when I met thee last where we now meet. Then was I going prisoner to the tower by the suggestion of the queen's allies. But now, I tell thee, keep it to thyself, this day those enemies are put to death, and I in better state than e'er I was.
God, he's so sure.
Yeah.
And, like, he's telling some dude.
Some random guy.
The last time
I saw you, I was heading towards the tower to be a prisoner.
But yeah, now, you came
look
to
at
me.
I'm good.
Right.
Yeah. And now those same people that sent me to the tower are dead.
Right. And the other Hastings. God hold it to your honor's good content.
Gramercy, fellow. There, drink that for me. So gramercy just means thanks. It comes from both the Italian and the French. Grazie and merci. Gramercy. And then he throws him a purse. Here, go have a drink on me, buddy.
May God save your lordship.
And then enter a priest. Erin gets to do all of her different voices today.
Well met, my lord. I am glad to see your honor.
I thank thee, good Sir John, with all my heart. I am in your debt for your last exercise. Come the next Sabbath, I will content you. He whispers in his ear. I love this word, exercise. You know, the Riverside said it means sermon, but exercise?
You can hear it as exorcise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, undemon.
Yeah, what undemon. Kind of priest is this?
Yeah,
and
right.
Also that he uses the word Sabbath instead of... Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Crazy. So here's another little weird Easter egg that Shakespeare just threw in. Some good Sir John.
Well, I would like to say...
Yes.
That in Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare makes the friar... almost witch-like, you know, gathering herbs and making potions. And so maybe Shakespeare has a thing about priests and friars being not
sus.
All that they seem, right? Sus.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. And Buckingham comes in just as Hastings is whispering to the priest.
What? Talking with a priest, Lord Chamberlain? Your friends at Pomfret, they do need the priest. Your honor hath no shriving work in hand.
Shriving work being confession and absolution. You don't need to do that today.
Right.
Hastings. I love that he starts with the words good faith. It's interesting. He's talking to a prince, right? I mean a priest. Good faith. And when I met this holy man, those men you talk of came into my mind. What, go you toward the tower?
Again, a line ending.
Yeah. Crazy.
And still capitalized, right?
Yep.
Okay. I do, my lord, but long I shall not stay. I shall return before your lordship thence.
And I think that's a riddle. Buckingham saying, I'm going to leave before you do.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Hastings, 'tis like enough, for I stay dinner there.
And supper, too. Although thou know'st it not. Come, will you go?
Yeah, so I think that's another legit aside, because Buckingham's like, I know something you don't know. Right. And Hastings, I'll wait upon your lordship. All right.
New scene.
New scene. Tiny scene. Act 3, scene 3, Pomfret Castle. Scene change. It's Radcliffe with halberds. Those are, you know, the kind of staffs with pokey bits at the top where you...
Pokey bits. All right, and... I'm Radcliffe and Gray.
Okay.
All right.
Rivers.
You're Vaughn and Rivers. Come, bring forth the prisoners.
Rivers. Sir Richard Radcliffe, let me tell thee this. Today shalt thou behold a subject die for truth, for duty, and for loyalty.
Oh, I'm Gray. God keep the prince from all the pack of you. A knot of you are damned bloodsuckers.
A knot you are.
What did I say? Oh, a knot. A knot you are of damned bloodsuckers.
I love that. And then Vaughn, this character we see now for one line and never hear from him again. Vaughn, you live that shall cry woe for this hereafter.
Dispatch, the limit of your lives is out.
Oh, it's Radcliffe. I love it. He's like, you've reached the end of your life. Just shut up. Rivers. Oh, Pomfret. Oh, thou bloody prison. Fatal and ominous to noble peers. Within the guilty closure of thy walls, Richard II here was hacked to death. And for more slander to thy dismal seat, we give thee up our guiltless blood to drink.
What does that sound?
I don't know. I was like, ooh, ominous music enters.
All right, I'll try and take it out. Gray. Now Margaret's curse is fallen upon our heads for standing by when Richard stabbed her son.
Yeah, so they were there on the battlefield when Richard killed Margaret's boy, young Prince Edward, also named Prince Edward. Rivers. Then cursed she Richard, then cursed she Buckingham, then cursed she Hastings. Oh, remember, God, to hear her prayers for them as now for us, and for my sister and her princely sons. Be satisfied, dear God, with our true blood, which, as thou knowest, unjustly must be spilt.
Make haste. The hour of death is expiate.
It's come quickly, right? Death is coming. So Rivers mentions, of course, that Richard, Buckingham, and Hastings were also cursed by Margaret. So he's like, please let her curse be heard for them too. But he's trying to hope that his sister, Queen Elizabeth, and her children are not within the line of fire. Good luck with that. So Rivers ends the scene. Come, Gray, come, Vaughn. Let us here embrace. Farewell until we meet in heaven. And out they go. Okay, and we're on to scene 4, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the Bishop of Ely, because he also enters here and we never see him again. So, but he's an interesting little one-off character. He was originally named, he was historically named John Morton, and he was a schemer, you know, working for money and for power, so not entirely holy in that way. But after this council, historically after this council, he was imprisoned for a while and then released into house arrest at Buckingham's. And that's interesting because this might be why Buckingham later defected to Richmond, because this guy was very pro-Richmond. And so, and which we don't see him be that in this council, but he is. He was sitting on the Hastings side with, like, no, we like Edward, and I will never consent to Richard being, and that's why he was imprisoned. But maybe he talked to Buckingham and talked him into it. And so Buckingham, you'll see at the end of the play, defects to Richmond for a while, and he loses a terrible battle and loses. But when Buckingham defected to Richmond, Ely escaped to join Richmond on the French side of the Channel. And then he waited out the battle in France. And when he returned, Richmond, who then was Henry VII, made him the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah, little, you rub my back, I'll rub yours.
Yeah. So he ain't no nobody, really. I mean, he is in this play, but I just thought it would be interesting. And we're going to meet another of the bad boy posse named Lovell. We only hear from him a little here, but we'll hear from him a little bit more next episode. All right.
And now we're in the tower.
Yes.
At the meeting that's taking place in the tower.
Yeah, so I should read. I'll read Richard also, because I'm reading Hastings, and then you got these other guys. Okay, I'll read the Bishop of Ely, too.
Okay, yes.
Hastings. Now, noble peers, the cause why we are met is to determine of the coronation. In God's name speak, when is the royal day?
Is all things ready for the royal time? That's Buckingham. Oh, I'm Stanley also.
Yes.
Okay. It is, and wants but nomination.
Bishop of Ely. Tomorrow, then, I judge a happy day.
Buckingham. Who knows the Lord Protector's mind herein? Who is most inward with the Royal Duke?
Yes, so Lord Protector is Richard, right? Mm-hmm. And so he should be the one to... His vote counts for more than
right,
other
and who right? Who knows what he thinks about it?
Yeah, since he's not here, what do we know about what he thinks? Bishop of Ely. Your Grace, we think, should soonest know his mind.
Buckingham.
He's sort of testing Buckingham, like,
yeah.
I think you're the guy who knows the best.
Yeah. Buckingham. We know each other's faces, for our hearts. He knows no more of mine than I of yours, or I of his, my lord, than you of mine. Lord Hastings, you and he are near in love.
Yeah, so that was a big evasion by Buckingham, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's like when you do the ball under the walnuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then he throws that test over to Hastings, right?
Yeah.
You guys are buddies, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're close.
Hastings was historically very close to the Yorks in general, but Edward in particular. So.
Right.
Hastings. I thank his grace. I know he loves me well. Big mistake. Big mistake. But for his purpose in the coronation, I have not sounded him, nor he delivered his gracious pleasure any way therein. But you, my noble lords, may name the time, and in the Duke's behalf I'll give my voice, which I presume he'll take in gentle part.
Can you imagine having the audacity to speak for Richard?
Yeah.
Like,
you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And Richard comes in on cue, as he often does. And the Bishop of Ely. And now, in good time, here comes the Duke himself. And Richard. My noble lords and cousins all, good morrow. I have been long sleeper, but I trust my absence doth neglect no great design, which by my presence might have been concluded. Did I miss something important?
Yeah, right. I hope
I'm
nothing
sure I
got.
Didn't.
Yeah, I hope nothing important got talked about while I was gone.
Yeah,
Buckingham. Had not you come upon your cue, my lord, William Lord Hastings had pronounced your part. I mean, your voice for crowning of the king.
It's one of those great mentioning that you're an actor thing that Shakespeare does all the time. Richard. Then, my Lord Hastings, no man might be bolder. His lordship knows me well and loves me well. My Lord of Ely, when I was last in Holborn, I saw good strawberries in your garden there. I do beseech you send for some of them. It's just like, how about those strawberries?
Out of the blue. Yeah. Here we go.
Bishop of Ely, marry and will, my lord, with all my heart. And off he goes. Richard. Cousin of Buckingham, a word with you. Pulls him aside. Catesby hath sounded Hastings in our business, and finds the testy gentleman so hot that he will lose his head ere give consent his master's child, as worshipful as he terms it, shall lose the royalty of England's throne. So Catesby tested him, and basically he would rather die than me be king.
Right. Buckingham. Withdraw yourself a while. I'll go with you.
In the middle of a meeting, these two shuffle off. People are like, wait a minute, where'd they go?
Wait,
what's happening?
And strawberries and these guys and what the hell is happening? It's like on Survivor at Tribal Council where someone stands up and goes to talk to somebody else and they all stand up and start talking to each other.
Yeah. And people randomly leave and it's like, I thought this was a meeting. What the fuck?
And Stanley.
Stanley's very worried.
We have not yet set down this day of triumph. Tomorrow, in my judgment, is too sudden.
for I myself am not so well provided as else I would be were the day prolonged.
Yeah, he's like, put it off and I'm running away. And here comes the Bishop of Ely back with a bunch of strawberries. Where is my lord, the Duke of Gloucester? I have sent for these strawberries. Hastings. His grace looks cheerfully and smooth this morning. There's some conceit or other likes him well, when that he bids good morrow with such spirit. I think there's never a man in Christendom that can less hide his love or hate than he, for by his face straight shall you know his heart.
My God, Hastings is really blind.
Yeah. He's so wrong, he couldn't be more wrong. He's like, you can read everything that Richard's thinking right on his face. No, you can't.
That might have been true at one point in his life. It's certainly not true no more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever true. I think he was always playing the party line when he was a younger man. Yes, father. No, father. Yes, Edward. No, Edward. For a long time, until the end of Henry VI, Part 3, where he has that incredible speech where he's like,
that.
Watch me fuck these people up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love that speech.
All along, you've been watching him be a good warrior and a good member of the family, and then he's like, oh, fuck that. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Okay,
which
Stanley.
Which came first? Which came first? Henry VI, one part three or Richard III? Which was written first?
Oh, he finished the Henry VI cycles. Yeah.
So he knew where he was going with Richard.
He knew where he was going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Stanley, I pray God he be not, I say.
Oh, no. What of his heart?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Here we go. What if his heart perceives you in his face by any livelihood he showed today?
Livelihood being animation. So what did you understand from his
face?
Yeah,
what did you see?
Yeah. Hastings. Marry, that with no man here, he is offended. For were he had shown it in his looks.
I pray God he be not, I say. But that's a plus to marry that with no man here, he is offended. Offended is a plus two. Hastings is just being moronic.
And it's a bit awkward, that rhythm. Marry that with no man here, he is offended. Right?
Yeah.
It's not regular at all. So I think Mary, maybe he's starting to be like, why are you keep pushing me on this? And what did you see? Maybe he's getting a little inkling at the end here.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he's uncomfortable.
Yeah. It feels like he's uncomfortable.
And Stanley is already uncomfortable.
Yeah. And Gloucester and Buckingham come back together. And that's going to make everyone uncomfortable. And Richard comes barreling in with an accusation. I pray you all, tell me what they deserve that do conspire my death with devilish plots of damned witchcraft and that have prevailed upon my body with their hellish charms.
Uh-oh.
As soon as you get the word witchcraft, you know it's an uh-oh, right? So he's like, tell me how I should punish someone for doing this terrible thing to my body. And people are like, what terrible thing? Hastings. The tender love I bear your grace, my lord, makes me most forward in this princely presence to doom the offenders whatsoever they be. I say, my lord, they have deserved death. So he's like, whoever did it should die. Has no idea, does not see it coming. Richard. And he pulls back his sleeve. Then be your eyes the witness of their evil. Look how I am bewitched. Behold, mine arm is like a blasted sapling withered up. And this is Edward's wife, that monstrous witch, consorted with that harlot, Strumpet Shore, that by their witchcraft thus have marked me.
We talked about Shore earlier Hastings and Shore were bumping uglies.
Yeah, furious jumping.
As
Bella Baxter calls it in Poor Things. Furious jumping.
Furious jumping.
He was jumping her bones, and she was also the mistress of the king, as you recall.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of shitting where you eat.
Yeah. And so by bringing her in, he's implying Hastings. Richard is. And he's said the word witchcraft again. So he's claiming that his arm has been withered up. He historically was said to have had a withered left arm, a little arm. Yeah. And he's saying that it's these witches that Edward's wife, Queen Elizabeth, and that Shore have done this thing, have conspired against him. And Hastings, if they have done this thing, my gracious lord, and Richard cuts him right off. If, thou protector of this damned strumpet, talks thou to me of ifs, thou art a traitor. Off with his head. Now, by St. Paul, I swear I will not dine until I see the same. Lovell and Ratcliffe, look that it be done. The rest that love me, rise and follow me. Is anyone sitting still?
No. St. Paul again.
Yeah, St. Paul, that flip-flopper. So he's like, you protected her. She lived to do this. It's your fault. And I love this. I will not dine until... I'm not going to eat until I see your decapitated head, by God.
And I'm not even feeding you lunch.
Yep. No dinner for you. Yeah. And everybody's like, what? And they get up. And they walk out. And I could see Stanley, like, walking with this backward glance, like, I told you, you idiot. Yeah. Yep. So exit everybody except for Hastings, Ratcliffe, and Lovell. Hastings. Whoa for England. Not a whit for me. For I, too fond, might have prevented this. Stanley did dream the boar did raise our helms, but I did scorn it and disdain to fly. Three times today, my footcloth horse did.
No,
that's hard to say. So, since I've stopped anyway, for I too fond, too foolish, I could have prevented this. Now he's like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. It's the beautiful theatrical irony that the audience knows he's stupid all along, right?
Right.
And then he's talking about his horse stumbling, so it's another omen.
I want to point out that you, who knows these words so well, stumbled on it. And I think it's because, you know, Shakespeare makes you slow down at certain points by how he's put his words together. So three times today, my foot cloth horse did stumble. That's not easy to say quickly.
Yeah. So maybe it's him really considering... Oh, my God, all these signs.
And I missed them all.
I missed them all. Yeah. So I'll try that again. Three times today my footcloth horse did stumble and started when he looked upon the tower as loath to bear me to that slaughterhouse. But he still has tower as a line ending.
Mm-hmm, he do.
And he's saying that his horse kind of jumped every time he looked at the tower as if he didn't want to take him there.
Footcloth, that's what I was just going to say.
Is an ornamental dressing on the bottom of a horse's, fetlocks down below his knees, you know, as if it was somebody who is very special. So he's riding a horse that's dressed up for a dignitary. Yeah. So he's really fucking full of himself. Rode over to the tower on this fancy schmancy horse only to get his head cut off. So he continues. Oh, now I need the priest that spake to me. I now repent. I told the pursuivant as too triumphing how mine enemies, how they at Pomfret bloodily were butchered, and I myself secure in grace and favor. Oh, Margaret, now thy heavy curse is lighted on poor Hastings' wretched head.
And Ratcliffe, dispatch, my lord, the duke would be at dinner. Make a short shrift. He longs to see your head. Hurry up. We got to cut off your head before he can eat. And he wants to eat now.
Yeah. Up, up, up. That's Radcliffe's whole job is like, let's go. No more talking. Make a short shrift. A brief confession. You know, just get it done with. Hastings. O momentary grace of mortal men, which we more hunt for than the grace of God, who builds his hopes in air of your good looks, lives like a drunken sailor on a mast, ready with every nod to tumble down into the fatal bowels of the deep. So that's an interesting speech. So momentary grace of mortal men is the decoration that we get when we get titles and importance.
Earthly honors.
Earthly honors and earthly rewards. The things that we keep hunting after all of our lives, and we don't chase after God's grace and God's forgiveness, right? And we...
Mini soapbox.
Yeah.
Mini one.
We neglect to be good, and instead... we focus on the things that we think we want and that will make us important.
Or happy.
Or happy.
Right? If I get that Walkman, I'll be happy. If I just... Walkman. I don't know where the fuck that came from. That was little Aaron thinking, yes. I wanted a Walkman. I wanted an easy bake oven. Yeah. But like, you know, if I live in a big house with a fancy dining room, then I'll be happy. If I have, you know, if I have a... Christian Louboutin shoes, then I'll be happy. If I have, you know, if I drive a Lexus, then I'll be happy. And the truth is, you find your happiness internal. You find your happiness through contentment. You find your happiness with your friends and your loved ones, and it doesn't matter what you own, because things that you own or titles that you garner, awards given, when you're lying on your deathbed, or standing there waiting to be beheaded, as the case may be, none of it matters.
Yeah. And it's great because he's talking about titles. And I think somewhere earlier we had this too, maybe the citizens who talked about titles as nothing more than air, right?
Yes, right.
So he says, because it's words. It's words. Mm-hmm. It's ideas. It's nothing.
Right.
So he says, who builds his hope in air of your good looks, in the perceived safety of a nod from a prince, I thought that I was reading on Richard's face that he was okay with me. Mm-hmm. And that's the air. That's nothing.
Right.
Right? Lives like a drunken sailor on a mast. So is living like in this crazy place, this liminal place where he could drop to his death any second. And he's not thinking about it because he's drunk and stupid.
Yeah.
Right? But I love that into the fatal bowels of the deep really kind of brings us back to Clarence's dream.
Dream, dream, right? Dream, dream.
Dream, dream, dream. So we had both of these dreams in these scenes, and nobody's paying attention.
Dream. Dream, 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 dream. Sorry.
Yeah.
We have to have our musical interludes.
Yes. Lovell.
Okay, and Lovell. Come, come, dispatch. 'Tis bootless to explain... Come, come, dispatch. 'Tis bootless to exclaim.
Yeah, so Lovell, too, is like, there's no point docking, dude. Just
go.
Yeah,
it's done.
Let's go.
It's over.
But Hastings has one more something to say. Oh, bloody Richard, miserable England, I prophesy the fearfulest time to thee that ever wretched age hath looked upon. Come, lead me to the block, bear him my head. They smile at me who shortly shall be dead.
And that's also true.
Yeah. Y'all looking at me are gonna be next.
Yeah. Nice rhyming couplet there.
Yep, head dead. but he sticks his own prophecy in there. Might as well. Everyone else is doing it. It's the fad.
But also, you know, okay, little mini soapbox again.
Do it.
In politics in our country right now, the Iowa caucuses started yesterday. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. People think that they will be protected by the man who says, I will protect you. He'll protect them as long as they serve him, or until all the other people that he's labeled as other are gone, and then he's coming for you. He did it to every single general, every single advisor. This is his pattern. This is what he does. And you think he's going to protect you, and maybe he will as long as you're of service to him. But when you cease to be of service to him, he will also off with your head.
Yep.
I am likening Donald Trump to Richard here, but I don't like that because I like Richard and I don't like Donald Trump. But the truth is, in that sense,
despots and dictators still behave like this.
That's right. They do.
And don't kid yourself. He is a dictator.
He will not protect you.
No.
Poor white people, middle class white people, you think he's going to stand up for you? He is not.
Nope.
His only interest is in his cronies.
Yep.
And maybe that's true of all the elites in our country, that really it doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats. They'll only stand up for their cronies so that the wheels can keep turning and pockets can keep getting lined. But the truth is, you know, if you are, there's a huge population of people who are of Hispanic descent, or, you know, that have swung over to Trump because they think that if they align with him, I shouldn't say what they think. I don't know what they think. I suppose that they think if they align with him, they'll be safe. Or if they align with him, they'll be perceived as white. Or if they, I don't know. But I can tell you without a doubt that once the illegal people in this country, I don't like to say illegal, but like the undocumented people in this country are gone, he will be coming for you because he does not see you as white.
Yeah.
Jews, he doesn't see you as white either. I've been told, I think I've said this in this podcast before, that I can't be an American because I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
The two things are incompatible. They don't see us as human. They other us. The only people they see as part of them is them. And you are not them. All right. So that's
thank goodness. Support. I don't want to be them.
No, but I don't want to see our country. I don't want to see our country. Yes, the great democratic experiment, and we all know it's not really a democracy, and we all know it's not really a republic. We all know all the things, but there is something to be said about trying to live up to the ideal that all people are created equal.
Yeah. Yeah, we might fail at it, but we need to keep trying.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel very sad that that piece of the original founders' ideals is being held up as what they're pursuing, liberty and all men created equal, all people created equal. And maybe they think all men, not women. They do, but they think women are, they're like Aristotle. They think we're somehow, you know, deformed men. But when they wrote that, yes, things were very different. When they said all men are created equal, they did mean men and landowners. They didn't mean everyone. But we have, over the centuries, adopted that to mean all people are created equal. And we have striven. What is the word I want?
I think it's
strove. Striven?
Yeah.
I don't know. To live up to that ideal. And now it's being held up along with our flag and the Christian cross as symbols of this authoritarianism. You know, it's all people, like Christians who say, well, the Sermon on the Mount didn't mean everybody, not every meek person. It was only Christian meek people that he was talking about. There were no Christians when Christ was speaking on the Mount. And, you know, when he said the meek shall inherit the earth, he meant, if you believe in Christ, the meek, all of us. He hung out with lepers and whores. He was not talking about white Christian men. He wasn't. And to think that the founders of this country, the people who wrote the documents on which this country is based, you know, to think that they meant only white Christian men is not correct. Even in their time, they didn't mean white Christian men.
Yeah.
They meant landowners. They meant men. But there were plenty of them that were not Christian in the sense that you're thinking. Deists were not Christian.
Yeah. He also said, judge and ye shall be judged, right? Judge right. as ye shall be judged.
Correct.
Yeah. That was a long soapbox to end our...
I said it would be little, and it wasn't at all. It was a massive soapbox, but I'm upset!
Yes! Let us learn from this king.
Yeah, let us. Please.
Please, please, let us, please. There's more to learn from him coming up.
Yes.
In the weeks to come. We're glad to be back with you.
We are. And actually, I'm going to make a little announcement. I'm turning 60 on March 22nd.
Yeah.
And I'm spending it in Stratford upon Avon with Diana.
I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited. So excited.
Stratford
is waiting with open arms to welcome you, Erin.
Talk about geek. Talk about a geek birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. Ooh, we should make some TikToks while you're here. Yeah, we should.
Oh, I don't know if I can bring my wig, though.
Sure, why not?
Oh. I don't know if I'm going to have room in my suitcase. I'm doing a carry-on.
Wear it.
Can you imagine? Marjorie walking through the airport with me wearing that wig.
She'll be like, no, oh I don't know you. And you could be like, I'm a famous TikTok personality. Here I am, walking through the airport.
I could do TikToks from the airport.
I know, you should be in full makeup and wig going through the airport. It'd be great.
Oh my God, she would have such a nervous breakdown. Maybe I'll do it. We'll see.
Do it. Put we'll it see. In your we'll talk. We'll see. Whip it out at a chemo.
As we're boarding.
Yes.
Hello, that's my so darlings!
As you sit down next to some unsuspecting person in your middle seat. Hello, hello.
Would you like to be in my TikTok?
Yes. But there is
a curse a lot.
A really optimal statue of Shakespeare, which I think we should definitely take advantage of. He's standing with his leg up on a bench, and you could so just sit on that bench and give him a blowjob if you wanted to. So we should totally do that.
Well, we'll have to look up Shakespearean words for blowjobs.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Done.
Done.
Done. I'll put the wig
plan.
I'll put the wig in my purse.
Do it.
I will.
I have mine here, so
I know.
I'm very excited.
Okay.
Things to come. Things to come, as it were. Bronze statues of Shakespeare to come. Oh, Stratford, you don't know what's hitting you.
About to hit you, yeah. All right, okay. Well, I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana, and that was fun.
That was fun.
All right.
And this is
Blowjob Shakespeare. Ciao, ciao!
Ta-ta!
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.